The identities of the first Greeks to arrive in Minnesota are lost to the historical record. But what is known is that some of the earliest Greeks arrived in the 1880s, working on the railroads. And like the Norwegians and Finns and Poles, the Greeks came with their religion. And where there's a religion, there's usually a church.
I believe this building was in 1955. It used to be over where the Sears building is, the second church. The first one was like a mission church. It was much smaller.
Sandra Anderson is the Ministry and Development Coordinator at St. Mary's Greek Orthodox Church. The present church has a golden dome that gleams over the treetops on the east bank of Minneapolis's Lake Calhoun. As Anderson noted, the church has been there since 1955, but its roots go back to 1906, when the first congregants met in a wood structure on what is currently the University of Minnesota campus. Nowadays, St. Mary's has some 600 congregants, and most people are familiar with the church through the Greek festival held every summer in its uptown neighborhood. The church hosts Greek dancers, food tables with wonderful baklava, and they run tours. And what most first-time visitors want to know is, what is Greek Orthodoxy? Sandra Anderson.
For the first about 400 years, the Orthodox and Catholic Church were one church until the split, let's say.
The split came about in late antiquity when the Christian faith divided between two camps, a Western capital in Rome, which became the Roman Catholic faith, and an Eastern capital in Constantinople, home of Orthodoxy.
We don't have a pope. It's more ecumenical. There are some theological differences. The things that are the same, which we like to focus more on what's the same, is that we have sacraments, the sacrament of baptism, marriage, chrismation, priesthood. But, you know, other than that, we are a church that has never changed. Like, we can trace our history to 33 AD from Pentecost. Every bishop can be traced to Peter or Paul, you know, follow that line all the way to Jesus Christ.
What astounds St. Mary's visitors is its visual appeal, drawn from centuries of tradition.
So the iconostasis is what you're going to see in every Orthodox church, which is really your doors to go in and out of the altar. Usually those doors have a gate that are closed, much like in the Jewish tradition where you would have the Holy of Holies. So always Christ is on the right, and on the left is always the Theotokos, which is the God-bearer. And over here, on the other side of Mary, on the left side, that icon is always going to be different in every church because that is the icon of our church. This is St. Mary's, the Dormition. Dormition means falling asleep. And this is when Mary fell asleep in the Lord, so when Mary died, but we say falling asleep in the Lord.
Overhead, the dome's interior surface is painted a celestial blue, emblazoned with paintings of Jesus and the four evangelists. We might call them paintings, but Anderson would remind you, they're icons.
We don't paint them, we write them, because they're scripture. It's not art. An iconographer, iconografia, is icon, and graphics, graphia, is to write. So iconografia is to write icons.
Blessed is the kingdom of the Father.
The real difference between Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism is exemplified by the Sunday Mass. In the Greek Orthodox Church, there's Byzantine chant, and the priest who stands at the altar faces away from you. Traditionally, the congregation stood throughout the service, but these days, St. Mary's, like a lot of Greek Orthodox churches in America, uses pews. Otherwise, what goes on beneath the gold dome on the shores of Lake Calhoun stretches back to the church's origins in 33 AD.
So it's an unbroken line. How many Orthodox does it take to change a light bulb? We say none because we never change. But it is an unbroken line. You know, so you have like in 325, I believe, was the Ecumenical Council, that first break of Catholicism. And then from there on, you can see all the different breaks and things like that. For us, it has never changed. We still worship the same way.
This is Brit Ahmed for KFAI, where 10,000 Fresh Voices is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.